To John 15, John chapter 15. As I begin my message, let me say that the Hebrew people of the Old Testament, God's people in the Old Testament, celebrated a number of festivals that were commanded by the Lord. These are called the feasts of the Lord. They were specifically commanded by the Lord. There were other days, however, that Israel established as days of remembering, days of festivals. One of them was something called the Feast of Purim. That is a feast that is, in fact, the whole book of Esther tells the story of that feast. It commemorates God's delivering the Jewish people from wicked Haman. You can read the whole story in the book of Esther. That was something that the people of God chose to do. They chose to celebrate. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 14 that we can celebrate a holiday or not choose to celebrate a holiday. Now, I choose to celebrate holidays. Pastor Money, why do you choose to celebrate holidays? Because it's fun. But I also think beyond that, there's a lot of important meaning that we would miss if we didn't have holidays like Easter and Christmas and things like that. So, because I'm the pastor of the church then celebrates all these holidays because I said so. And that's just the bottom line. I had a guy come to this church one time who didn't like the celebration of Christmas. What's not to like about Christmas? He didn't like the celebration of Christmas, and he got all bent out of shape over it all the time. Well, too bad. We're gonna celebrate the Savior's birth. Well, someone said, Pastor Monty, it didn't actually happen on December 25th. How do you know? You weren't there, so you can at least commemorate something. So we commemorate today. We commemorate those who gave their lives in the greatest sacrifice. You know, Jesus said, "Greater love," in our text this morning. John chapter 15, verse 13. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends." In other words, out of love, out of a heart of love, someone says that when a threat arises, I will gladly defend my friends, my family, my countrymen. I will gladly defend them even if it come to death. The motivation then, the highest motivation, according to Jesus, is the motivation of love. But someone will ask a question and say, Pastor Mahdi, why is the sacrifice given? Why is sacrifice necessary? We remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice on Memorial Day. But there's something else we need to remember. The rationale and the reasons behind their sacrifice. You cannot divorce the rationale and the reason from the sacrifice given. In other words, our young people need to know that there was a valuable and good reason for the spilling of blood. The spilling of blood was not something that is randomly glorified, but there is a reason that the American Patriot and the American military have freely and deliberately spilled their blood for the sake of the preservation of this nation. There's something about this nation that makes it worthwhile. That message is essential to young people today, because they are not hearing that message. They are hearing a convoluted message that somehow Americans should be ashamed of our history. I'm going to make a statement that is very clear. In a broken world with broken people, not everything is a shining example of virtue. But America rises head and shoulders above any nation on the face of the earth for the virtuous way in which she was founded, in which she has been built, and in which she has survived. And I make no apology for being an American. There are far too many nations who would criticize us behind our back and take our money, our aid money, up front. There's far too much of a willingness to supply the enemy with funds in order to really move them forward in their agenda, which is an anti-American agenda. It's time that Americans valued not just the sacrifice, but the thing for which men and women sacrifice. It's unlikely that anyone would sign up voluntarily for the armed services, apart from understanding they may be called to defend something, and that at least to some degree they see what they're defending as worthwhile. And so when we think about the sacrifice that was made, and remember the words of Jesus, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends," we understand there was something behind the motive and the willingness to go. Those young men who were put on transport vehicles out of Navy ships and were brought to beaches such as Omaha Beach and watched as the transport vehicles moved closer to the beach and understood that those beachfronts would be defended by the Germans. I can't imagine what it was like to ride over the waves in those odd transport carriers, and then all of a sudden, for what would be the front of the carrier, the way it was facing, to drop down an open platform and invite those men to rush onto a beachfront that hadn't seen Allied forces in several years. Invite those men really into a hornet's nest of activity by the Germans and invite many of them to their death within minutes of their setting foot in the wet sands of those beaches. Spasimani, what would possibly be worth something like that? America. America as it was then. American ideals as they were then. And by the way, they are still alive and well at Faith Baptist Church of Avon. If you're a political liberal, you're going to be really uncomfortable. Now, it's not my desire to make you uncomfortable, but I'm just telling you what I believe. I'm telling you the truth this morning. So we think about those who gave their lives. That is what Memorial Day is all about. But it reminds us, because we're called on Memorial Day to remember certain things, it reminds us of some things. I want to give you several this morning. Number one, I believe Memorial Day should remind us of the value of our unique way of life. This is not typically taught in the school systems today, but the value of America is in it presents a unique way of life that is different from the rest of the world. It is often copied, but never with the same success that has taken place in America. There are westernized democracies or republics or civilizations or parliamentary governments westernized in their flavor, as is our neighbor to the north, Canada, but they have never reached the apex of freedom that we have reached here. They have never succeeded to give their citizens the full realm of absolute liberty that we have achieved here. The value of our unique way of life is this, that those willing to die for this country did not die for a socialist commune. They died for a free way of life. Two of the words most cherished by Americans are the words freedom and liberty. And those two words carry with them an immense responsibility. But they are immensely valuable because freedom in America says that Americans within the law have the right to choose. And laws have been crafted in such a way in the past as to be the least intrusive into the lives of Americans. By the way, that is changing dramatically in our country. As laws become more intrusive to control us, to tell us what to do, to tell us what we can eat and what we cannot eat, to tell us what we should do and shouldn't do, to tell us what shot we should take or what shot we shouldn't take. And I'll leave it at that. Those rules are intruding into America's freedom. Those rules are pushing against the individual freedom that has been set for Americans. The value of our way of life is the uniqueness of our freedom. We experience religious freedom in a remarkable way here in America. I am free to stand up in this pulpit and preach from this Bible anything God lays on my heart to say. By the way, I don't hold back on that. What's the point? I'm privileged to be able to do that. That is my religious freedom. There are places right now, and Canada is one, where no church can gather. In the entire nation of Canada, not one church can gather this morning. You're not allowed to have a gathering of more than five people. You've been encouraged by your government to report people that gather in gatherings greater than five people. They're being fined what amounts to $2,500 U.S. if they're found in a gathering of more than five people. We used to pass the money, that's just because of the present moment. I disagree with that. That is a pushback against religious liberty. Now, we said from the start of this pandemic thing that you can do whatever you want. Do you know why I took that stand? Because I'm an American. Make your own choice. If you're sensitive about it or don't have a high risk tolerance, protect yourself. And I'm all for you protecting yourself. Any way you see fit. If you want to wear garlic around your neck, I'm fine with that, okay? And whatever you want to do, this is America. God love America. Whatever you want to do, you do. But let people choose for themselves. I think that's fundamentally the issue we're talking about here. And by the way, when people choose for themselves, don't criticize what the other person chose. Just let them choose for themselves. The American way is just choose. Choose for yourself. It has to do with freedom. We enjoy religious freedom here. We enjoy freedom of speech. I'm exercising, by the way, freedom of speech. Every time I get in this pulpit, I exercise it privately, but I exercise it with great vigor in the pulpit. I think it's important. The idea of freedom of speech, Pastor Monty, we stand for freedom of speech. Yes, we do. But if you stand for freedom of speech, that means you have surrendered your supposed right to not be offended. In other words, in a land where there is freedom of speech, there is free discourse. You can freely disagree with me, but I cannot demand that your speech be such as to not offend me. It is okay if you offend me, because that is part of your freedom of speech. What we have today is thought police that are telling us what we can and cannot say, words we can and cannot use, reasons why everything that we do is a microaggression. That's garbage. Limiting people's freedom of speech or expression, taking them off of social media platforms because they disagree with the current globalist agenda is not American. Let me be clear. The forces that be that control Facebook and all of these social media, Twitter and all that, that take people off because of their position, that is not American. They are squelching free speech. That is highly dangerous in a free society that things be one way. We have the freedom of speech. That makes us unique. You see, those who gave their lives for our freedom, willingly dying for the sake of Americans living free, those who did so maybe not thinking of it, but they did so at least inadvertently for religious freedom, freedom of speech. How about this, the right to keep and to bear arms? I really believe in that. What a great country. You say, well, Pastor Monty, you know, those things are old-fashioned and we need to abrogate that. No. So what you don't understand, the right to keep and to bear arms as discussed by the founders was not so you could go hunting. Now, and I love hunting. And by the way, back then they all hunted or they starved, right? Amen? Okay. They weren't thinking about hunting. They weren't thinking about your right to go hunting. They weren't even thinking about your right for personal protection. Though that certainly plays into the idea of the freedom to the right to keep and to bear arms. But they weren't thinking about that. You said, Pastor Monty, why fundamentally do I have that right? Because our founders understood that if the population was armed, it would be impossible for the government to become despotic against them. The whole idea of the Second Amendment is to give the American citizen the power in his hand to rise up against a despotic state. That is the purpose. Now, what I just said shocked some of you. Oh, Pastor Monty, I'm not calling for an uprising. Don't worry about that. I'm too busy. This is a big church. I have a lot going on, folks. I'm not calling for that. But what I'm saying is, don't you find it unique that our founding documents, that our legal documents have triggers that can hand the power right back to the population? How many have ever heard of the freedom of Americans to form and maintain militias? Have you ever heard of that? Oh, Pastor Monty, that's all this right-wing stuff. Stop. That is a right. That is a guaranteed right of the American people, that if I want to get together with some buddies and form a militia. Now, I'm not doing that. Put your Twitter under control. Pastor Monty said he's forming. No, I didn't say that. But if I want to form Bubba's Boys Club and have my own militia, I have a right to do that. And what would be the point? And I understand militias get a bad name today. I think a lot of times undeservingly. But what would be the point? The whole point is this, that our founding documents give us these rights to protect freedoms as they are. We have a very unique way of life. You know what we also have here? We have opportunity for all. Now, has it always been a fair, even playing field for everyone from the moment of the founding of the country? No. Okay, it has not always been a fair field. We understand that. But I think America is getting better and better. I think we, as a broken, and we're broken people, we're sinful people, I think we're getting better and better. We have opportunities for all. We have free market capitalism. Some time ago, years ago, I was sitting on a plane with a guy from Denmark. He was an exchange student at Purdue University, and I asked him what he was studying. He said he was studying some kind of business at Purdue University, and I said he was from Denmark, spoke perfect English. I said, what do you think about America? And I said, give me your opinion. He said, it's the most remarkable place in the world. He said, in America, if I want to open a company, a business, he said, it'll cost me $30 and about a half hour online to fill out the forms, and I can have an LLC. And he said, then I can open for business. He said, this is amazing. He said, in Denmark, it would take years, tens of thousands of dollars, and a team of lawyers to establish an independent business. And then he said this. He said, you people don't know what you have. Wow. He said, you don't take advantage of it. You see, folks, we have a unique way of life. I'm not willing to sell it over to the socialists. I'm not willing to give it over to people who downplay our country. Or to people who say, well, Pastor Marty, you don't understand. The entire history of our country is a history of oppression. Baloney! It is a history of freedom. It was oppressed people leaving oppressive regimes who came to the shores of this nation because they understood that they could worship God freely according to the dictates of their conscience. It was not people who came with the purpose of oppression. It was people who came looking for freedom. We have to value our unique way of life. That is the thing for which they sacrificed their lives. Our historic documents encourage us to protect and even to push back. What a unique nation. Nothing has ever been seen on the face of the globe before, and nothing will ever be seen since. The greatness of America. Number one, the value of our unique way of life. Number two, what does Memorial Day remind us of? It reminds us of the brokenness of our fallen world. You see, I'm not here this morning to glorify war, although there is valor and courage on the battlefield. When a war is just, it is a battle that must be fought. The moral thing sometimes to do is to fight a war. But whenever a war breaks out, that is always a mark of the brokenness of our world. It's a mark of human sinfulness that one group of people needs to protect their way of life, perhaps their freedoms, from another group of people that would enslave them. And all of that power grabbing is a mark of brokenness. It is a mark of sinfulness. The Bible teaches us there will come a day when the swords will be beaten into plowshares. In other words, the implements of war will be turned to productivity. That verse, by the way, is lifted out of Scripture and is engraved on the side of the United Nations building. The swords will be turned to plowshares. How are you doing, United Nations? One of the trashiest organizations to exist on American shores is the United Nations. If I had my druthers, they'd be kicked out. We'd not be part of it and be done with the whole thing. Pastor Ronnie, that's so radical. No, it's just being an American. Some tin horn dictator shouldn't have the same vote as an American. Let's just not go there. But one day the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ will rule over a real kingdom in this world, and it will be then that the swords will be beaten to plowshares. The implements of war will be turned to implements of productivity, but it will not be until Jesus reigns. And no amount of endless wars is going to establish a lasting peace in this world. But let me say, ladies and gentlemen, from time immemorial, that war has been a reality. It is simply a mark of a fallen world. And one day when Jesus comes again, the war of all wars and battle of all battles will be fought in the Valley of Armageddon in Israel. And Jesus Christ will be triumphant. And only then will peace come. In other words, we live in a broken world. We acknowledge that on Memorial Day. Sin, the sin nature, has made war a reality and, frankly, a necessity. There are some people who don't want war at any cost, and they're willing to become slaves to the greater power. And the greater power in our world often is on the dark side. There are some Christian groups who stand against war of any kind. But may I remind you that you have the luxury of being stupid because somebody else died on a battlefield for you. Don't ever forget that. You have the luxury of being wrong because someone else died on a battlefield for you. I'm saying that Memorial Day should remind us of the brokenness of our world. Warfare reveals struggles oftentimes between good and evil. Is there such a thing as senseless war? Oh, absolutely. All of the little scuttles between different Arab groups in the Middle East, how silly, Shiites and Sunnis and all of them killing each other, none of them right about any of it. That's silly. But is there such a thing as a just war? Oh, yes, there is. Israel defending her rightful borders is a just war. I read a disturbing article this week and I don't have the article in front of me, but I'm going to estimate the numbers, that not too many years ago, most evangelicals supported Israel, the overwhelming majority in the struggle that Israel faces. Today, they said that numbers had dwindled to about 20% of evangelical support. And some evangelicals are claiming that somehow Israel is a persecutor nation. First of all, none of that could be further from the truth. I've been there twice. It is the only democracy in the Middle East. Israel is America's only friend in the Middle East. Did you hear what I just said? Israel is America's only friend in the Middle East. None of those other... Syria is not our friend. They're not our friend. And the problem that we face, the struggle that we face sometimes is this. How do we discern a just war? When someone is defending his or her fair and right borders as a nation against an aggressor, that is a just war. And while some Americans will argue with me over this matter and say, well, the Palestinians have a right to this, 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 and this, let me make a statement. If Mexico started lobbing missiles into Texas, I don't think we'd put up with it like the Jews have for the last 75 years. I don't think we would restrain ourselves if that became a habitual situation. But it all points to the brokenness of our world. Here's a Pastor Monty, you know, death and dying, what a horrible thing. It is horrible. Any level of bloodshed on either side in a war, it's a horrible thing. But ladies and gentlemen, that will continue until Jesus Christ comes again. It is a sad reality. And for me to try to promise you, which I never would, to promise you some kind of a globalist utopia where everything will be peace because it is controlled by some kind of centralized governmental system is absolutely outside of the bounds of Scripture. The Bible predicts what will happen in coming days. It is crystal clear in Scripture. And only when Jesus reigns in Jerusalem, in a throne, in the temple, only when that happens will there be peace across the whole world, because the Bible says He will rule this world with a rod of iron. When we think about Memorial Day, we think about the brokenness of our world. No true and lasting peace with mankind is possible because of our sinful condition. Only Jesus Christ can fix that. The value of our unique way of life is something we should remember. The brokenness of our fallen world is something that we should remember. And now let me move on to the controversial part. Memorial Day should remind us of the need for dangerous men. I'm going to repeat myself. Pastor Marty, this is church. Yep, this is church. Memorial Day should remind us of the need for dangerous men. I'm not going to go at length in this, but one of my favorite authors, though secular author, is Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson, is in his book, The 12 Rules for Life, he talks about the only way to keep chaos at bay is for strong men to be prepared to act in great violence on our behalf. And that is very true. In a day and age in which weakness and femininity is glorified, it is absolutely vital that we get back to the place of strength, especially among men. Jesus spoke about a strong man armed as being a deterrent. When He finally does come again to set this world right at the Battle of Armageddon, it is described in the pages of the Bible, in the book of Zechariah, in the book of Revelation, in the book of Isaiah, all through the prophets. It is described as the time of ultimate violence in this world, when the armies of the world are gathered against Israel and Jerusalem, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, King of Kings, rides on a white charger and destroys the enemies of God's people. Now, you either believe the Bible or you don't. Well, Pastor Monty, that sounds so violent. May I remind you that you are seated here because dangerous men were willing, on your behalf, to do great and unspeakable violence. And that's something that Memorial Day should remind us. One of the shameful things that we're experiencing today is the feminization of the American male. It is a tragedy. Well, Pastor Monty, these young men, they just need to get in touch with their softer side. I don't think so. I think what is happening is we're weakening men. And ladies, listen, ladies, don't be offended. But let me be clear. Men are becoming so weak that they're dependent on female leadership. Now, let me be clear. Female leadership to know what to do, and they're being stymied. I'm against that. I think that men ought to be strong. I said this the other Sunday. Men ought to be very strong. Women should be strong too, but men just a little bit stronger. But in our society, the American male is being feminized. It's a great tragedy. I believe that the best picture of the American male is a civilized barbarian. Pastor Mahdi, what about gentle Jesus, meek and mild? Have you ever read your Bible? Have you ever read your Bible? Jesus was a man's man. Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus was a man's man, man enough to endure the rigors of the cross and to live for hours as his blood was publicly drained. Make no mistake about it, those pictures you see of Jesus could not possibly be accurate. Jesus is a genuine man's man, and when he returns again as the warrior king. I know a lot of people aren't comfortable with that because it doesn't suit their preconceived notions, but it is true. Memorial Day reminds us that a country cannot survive except we have dangerous men who are willing to do great things and great feats and great sacrifice and great violence on our behalf. I want you to consider for a moment before you become too pious, because some of you out there are getting pious with me. I want you to consider, you said, Pastor Mahdi, who? Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying that to get your attention. I want you to consider a moment the comfort that you have. Do you know, when we invited our law enforcement, and we pay these fellows who come and guard us every Sunday, we pay the law enforcement. When we decided to do that because of church shootings, and we thought it would be a good idea if the church shooting happened in the lobby and not in the auditorium. Okay, that was my whole, my goal is deterrence, okay? But we thought that would be a good idea. When we did that, there was some talk about it, but everyone was in pretty much immediate agreement. That's a good thing. Now, it's rare when I do something at church, it's rare for me to have made a choice, a decision, and not one person complained. Not one. In fact, all I heard was this, Pastor, thank you for that. Pastor, we feel better. And this is in the wake of some church shooting. Pastor, that makes us feel secure. Thank you for making that decision. All I heard was a chorus of people saying, thank you, Pastor, we have law enforcement here. But what are you really saying? You're saying, thank you, Pastor, because we have men who are trained, who are willing to turn their gun on an intruder who poses a threat, and they're willing to shed blood. I know you don't like that thought, but that's what we're saying. Every civilized society, to preserve civilization, needs the force of violence behind it. Every young man should try to be dangerous right under the skin. Now, I'm not saying he should be crazy and wild, but I'm saying he should have the potential of danger. Ladies, if you were ever to be affronted by someone who meant to do you harm, would you not take comfort in having a man who knew what to do, who could double back his fist, who, now he doesn't normally do that. He doesn't do that in Sunday school. Usually. He doesn't do it in church. He doesn't do it at the dinner table. No. His danger factor is right beneath the skin, but it's hidden. But ladies, you know that it's there because in an instant, this man can rise up and on your behalf do great danger. That's a good thing. Because the world is broken. The world needs men with the capability of standing up to defend the weak. How can we defend our children in the face of school shootings when we take the armaments out of the hands of the men? The good guys. How can we hope to have a free society, a civilized society? How can we hope to maintain calm when we've taken the power out of the hands of people who can exercise it rightly? That's why we're just going to take it away from everyone. That will never happen in a broken world. It can never succeed. The good guys always need to have the power behind them. I believe that our law enforcement in our church are men that are willing to lay down their lives for us. They enter into danger every time they clock in for work. They enter into danger on our behalf, and we should thank God for them. Memorial Day reminds us of the need for such men like this. When I was younger, I had a teacher, and I know some teachers do this kind of thing. They'll get up, you know, the rules they have in class. And rules are a good thing. I'm all about rules. I'm a Baptist minister, remember? all about rules. Teacher gets up in class and says, "Now, children, never, never, never fight. Never fight." Well, of course, Pastor Monty, the teacher doesn't want to deal with children fighting. But is it a good idea to tell children to never fight? I will tell you it is not a good idea. Because in the event of some girl being violated by a schoolyard bully and the teacher is standing behind a dumpster somewhere smoking a cigarette and is too far away to be reached, it would be a good thing if a young man would see this girl in harm's way and would step in and fight. You see, ladies and gentlemen, let me be clear about this. Sometimes the only truly moral choice is to fight. When someone we love is endangered, when someone is being threatened physically, when someone's life may be taken in an instant, unless I intervene, if I have the power to intervene, the moral and the right thing to do is fight. The best thing we can teach our young people is when that is correct. How to function rather than to give them a blanket rule that cannot work in a sinful world. You are safe in our church right now because strong men who are armed are capable of unspeakable violence on your behalf. And that's what Memorial Day should teach us. Memorial Day teaches that men and women who were capable of defending us gave their lives on the field of battle for our freedom to worship here. They gave their lives on the freedom of battle to raise up another generation who would likewise be willing to put their lives on the line. Both of my sons are in, one formerly and one currently, in the United States military. And there's an assumption that is made you enter the military and you may be called upon for that. I wouldn't glory in that as a father, but I want you to understand something. The willingness needs to be there or we cannot have a nation. You see, it's all summarized really well in the words of Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. This is not a utopia in which we live. The very fact that Jesus spoke those words indicates an assumption that it could come to that. But there's a greater sacrifice of which he was speaking, and it is this: his own death on Calvary's cross. You see, your salvation cannot be bought by your good works or by your doing nice things to people or for people. Your salvation, because of the depth of your sinfulness and mine, can only be bought through the gravest of sacrifices. When I open my Bible and read about the story of Jesus, I read about my Savior, the Son of God and God the Son, who was beaten beyond recognition by Roman soldiers, who was nailed to a cross, whose sacrifice and death was a blood-spattering massacre. That's what it was. And who went there willingly to die for me. When Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends," he was speaking of his ultimate sacrifice when he died on Calvary's cross. And not just for his friends, but for his enemies. Because in the moments that Jesus was on the cross, he looked at those who had put him there, and he said these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest freedom was bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. The greatest liberty was bought and paid for by his blood. And the Bible says to receive the gift of eternal life, all you need do is come to trust in him. He shed his blood on the cross for your sins. And all he asks is that you believe, that you believe. Pastor Monty, you've talked a lot about things that tend toward violence. I have. The Bible, by the way, is full of that. Just read it sometime. Most violent act recorded in Scripture is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Pastor, why is it recorded in such lurid detail? And why is it recorded as such a violent and horrible act? Because my sin violates the holiness of my God, who loves me not because of who I am, but in spite of who I am. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the greatest sacrifice. Memorial Day. We remember our unique way of life. We remember the brokenness of this fallen world. What a mess. We remember the need for dangerous men, and we remember the ultimate sacrifice, the bloodshed death of Jesus that pays for our sin. And if you need to trust him this morning, I'll encourage you to do so after a while. Father, thank you for the words of Christ concerning the motive of great sacrifice. Thank you for that. Lord, right now we live in a nation that has become increasingly confused and on many levels very, very weak. Help us, Lord, not to adopt the culture. We're not interested in the culture. We're interested in the Bible. Father, thank you for heroes that never intended to nor wanted to be heroes, but in the shedding of their blood on foreign fields, many times places far, far away from here, sometimes with a forgotten grave. Father, that those men and women gave them themselves for the freedom we enjoy. Help us, Lord, to remember that the freedoms we have are not automatic, and they can only be kept if they are maintained and vigilantly guarded, for there are many in this world who would take them away. Spirit of God, if any have come here and they're not saved, help them to understand that the death of Christ, His bloodshed death, is the answer to their sin problem, that He paid the price for their sin when He died on the cross. Help them, Lord, to come to trust Him today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please. We'll all stand together.